Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Transformation Cafe. We're excited. This is our first show, and we're going to be talking to Al Diaz, and one of our guests at our table tonight. It's going to be our main course tonight to be talking about a couple of different subjects we have going on. We've definitely got the earthquake from Chile and the tsunami and some other things, whatever seems to come up on the table. We're looking forward to see what that is. So, Al, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm kind of excited to be on this format in this show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for accepting, and we're excited that you're here.
Awesome. I'm hearing echo in the background. I'm not sure if somebody has their PC on or something's going on there.
Oh, it might be me. Let me turn mine off to make sure that we don't have that problem. And Miss Kathy Elliott is in the house. Kathy, you're here at the table.
I am. Robin, would you like to say a few words about yourself?
Sure. My name's Robin Misevich. I've been a nature intuitive pretty much all of my life. Happy to be here and be part of the hosting and coasting of everything that's going on tonight. One of the things I really love to do is flower wisdom, and it's looking at nature and having nature be a symbol to all of us in the way that we do things. So I'm going to be bringing that to the table of just kind of being a voice for the earth and what they might be looking at tonight. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to dessert. I always love it when we have dessert at the cafe. Mr. Diaz, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're hoping for tonight?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you and Kathy and I believe Gloria also.
Yeah, Gloria, and hopefully Mr. Raul might be with us tonight. It depends on if he can make it. But, you know, sometimes people slide into the cafe a little bit late, but that's okay. Sometimes they have problems with traffic and, you know, how things go. Sometimes you got to park that car, so it's okay.
I totally get it. But anyways, I love what you guys have created. I when I got the email and I was reading through it, I said, whoa, what a great concept. I love it. I love the intro to this. I mean, it puts you in the mood, it puts you in the place, it puts you in the atmosphere, and the ambiance of it all. I love it all. In regards to myself, oh boy, I've written two books. I co-authored a third book with you, Robin.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to head out to Hawaii this coming Friday morning. I'm going to be at an event with Neil Donald Walsh. And my intention is to empower and heal, as being a conduit for empowerment and healing, and with the message of unconditional love. That's in a nutshell.
Great. Tell me a little bit about, real quick, what you're going to be doing with Donald over in Hawaii. That sounds exciting.
They're having an expo over there, and as you know, we just came back from Hawaii a few weeks ago, and I guess I must have impressed enough people that I got invited to go back to another expo on the Big Island, and they asked me if I would be willing to be a featured speaker, and I agreed I would. I'm going to be speaking on the same day that Neil Donald Walsh does. Actually a few hours before he does, and then we're going to hang out together afterwards. We're going to a VIP reception, and we're going to have some one-on-one time. So I'm looking forward to
that. Oh, that sounds really nice. Yeah. Cool. Kathy, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Kathy Elliott. And after 30 years of being in the computer industry, I switched gears and now serve humanity by spreading joy and laughter wherever I go. I'm currently working on two children's CDs about self-healing, and they're due about the end of the year, right before Christmas, and I guarantee they will be full of fun.
And they will. I know her personally now, and I must tell her we actually met at the expo over in Kauai about a month ago, and I I feel like I've known her all my life, and I look forward to be any kind of a vehicle for helping her to get that out there and have some positive stuff for these kids. I've gotten a little sample of what she's talking about, just from some simple sample things that she's created, and I was blown away by them. I was just like, wow, I wish my kids had been listening to this stuff when they were growing up and just having that sense of just things bigger and better than themselves sometimes, and just a God sense about everything. So just very, very cool. Very, very cool.
I see we've been joined by Gloria. No? Hello?
Gloria, are you there?
Raul?
Okay, well.
Hello. Who's the caller on line 3?
They won't know they're on line 3. You have to tell them their area code and prefix.
Oh, okay. And the caller, that's 206-283.
Oh, did I press 1?
Hello?
Kathy, are you there, Kathy?
Can you
yes.
hear me now?
I can hear
yes.
you now.
This is the caller from the 206 number here, or area
oh,
code.
Oh, okay. I
this
know
is
that
Jamie.
Voice. That's Mr. Jamie Trujillo. He's a friend of mine that I asked him to call in to kind of help out with our conversation and join the table. Hey, Mr. Jamie.
I will
sit
try.
Sit down and grab a napkin and let's be chowing down. Here we go.
Okie dokie. I'm a good listener.
He's an excellent listener.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Jamie and I have known each other from high school. He's been one of my buds for a long, long time. So there you go.
Well, I look forward to meeting you sometime.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, if you ever come up to Seattle, that's where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Hey, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Jamie has a tattoo studio up in the Seattle area.
So yes, I do tattoos, and about 23 years now. And
wow.
I just try to, I've been very blessed with talent to do my art, and people pay me for it. So, and I try to make people happy, because that's all, sometimes that's all that matters.
It's all right. That matters. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like you've got a connection with Kathy.
Yeah.
So how's that?
She likes to make people happy as well, and her
of course.
Whole mission in this life is just to bring joy to as many people as she can. She likes to be just a joy person.
Trying to be positive, that always helps.
That's mm-hmm. right, that's right. Just like state of mind is all that really is there. So that's really cool. Were able to get Miss Gloria and Raul on, or we're not sure?
Not at this time. Not
okay,
yet.
That's cool.
They're
not yet.
Still
hopefully they'll
still
like. They're finding parking spaces, exactly. Hopefully they can get valet and get in here a little quicker, but that's okay. So we were going to talk about where we're all really feeling about what happened with the Chile earthquake and what was happening with the tsunami the other day. So anybody want to kind of jump off of that and kind of talk about their perspective and what they think about that?
I was going to use the word enjoy, but I don't know if that's the right word. I've kind of took a big interest in how incorrect science could be in regards to the tsunami hitting Hawaii.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it wasn't there. It's just that, you know, what was supposed to be 8 feet ended up being like 2 or 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how humanity counts on science to have a greater understanding of things, and yet perhaps they don't, you know, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just, you know, it was interesting because I was glued to the TV, and I normally don't watch TV, but I was glued to see what was going to happen, and it was like a 2 or 3 foot swell, you know, and here they were thinking it would be an eight foot swell, and I don't know. But, you know, and I don't know, maybe because I got caught up in it along with millions of other people. It was interesting how it all ended up.
Well, I was definitely delighted with the way it held up because, to me, it was just a matter of the magic of technology now, and everybody knew about it. Anybody who had technology knew that that was going to be an issue that Hawaii may have to be contending with, and I'm sure that there was just the power of prayer. was just totally out there on a level that we can't even imagine. And look what happens when we all pray for something to not be as big as what, you know, they're saying it's going to.
I like it.
Yeah, I just thought that was just so cool. And I heard a spiritual teacher talking the other day about the earthquake, and she was talking about how it's almost like the earth is getting chiropractic adjustments.
I like that. That's a good one.
So it's not a matter of who lives there or what's going on. It's the plates of all the land masses that are basically having to get little tweaks now and then to help us to relieve any kind of tension that the earth is going through.
Well, you know what I read today in regards to that earthquake is that it shifted the axis of the earth.
Right.
I don't know how much, but it did shift. The earthquake was so powerful that it shifted the axis of the earth.
I
did hear that too as well.
Well, and if you think about that, I mean, when we have chiropractic adjustments, what they do is actually allow the energy of the body to be more efficient.
Or in alignment, I'm assuming.
Or in alignment, exactly. So we've got more energy and more full alignment of being able to have things running in a more, you know, just a more in tune with itself and everything else.
Well, it always helps to be at your top physical, I mean, the mental and physical caliber. I'd imagine if you're feeling better and your posture and such, I mean, as far as physical things go, mentally as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
It always helps to stay positive and try to keep in motion. That's what I say.
So
hey, here, here, Jamie.
Robin, what is your take on why that earthquake happened?
Well, I think it's just like kind of what they were saying about the fact that there was some shifting going on, and it was the releasing of pressures and things like that that were happening. I've also had a sense that, you know, things bigger than us are actually been shifting. I mean, unless you're living in a hole, you can't say that the world is the same as it was even a year ago. There's definitely a different kind of energy and connectedness that we're all experiencing with one another and just with the environment. So with that, you know, there's things that just have to be able to kind of give and take. And I definitely think that that's just some things that, you know, and the Chile earthquake was very different than what happened with Hades, because Hades was more of an opening of the heart of the world for everyone to reach out for everyone in Hades, which is such a different level of what that was all about. And I feel sad for the people in Chile on whatever level, but again, it's such a large earthquake, and yet the amount of damage was minimal compared
to
Hades.
Well, the damage in Chile wasn't as bad. They had a very severe earthquake in the 60s. That was one of the highest recorded earthquakes. So that made them build their buildings a lot safer. Whereas Haiti, there was no building code.
Right.
And it was a different type of quake. I think it was closer to the surface. But that doesn't dispel that. There were people killed in Chile. But I think they have a better structure and more help and I'm not sure they're as well off. They're a lot well off than the Haitians. And all you can do is hope that people survive and can be well after such a people lost. Some people lost everything, I'm sure, and families.
Sure,
and that's the cycle. That's what happens. We're, you know, that there's a ring of fire. That's what they call the Pacific Asian. You know, Los Angeles, of course, is in that. It goes all the way down and back around to the Pacific as well. I just thought I'd mention
right.
that.
Thank you, mister. You're just full
okay.
of interest. JT is just really good with his information. That's good.
Well, I think I read a lot, and, you know, that helps.
You know, what's amazing to me is that I don't know how many of you were here in Southern California when we had the Whittier or the Northridge earthquake.
That was 94.
Yeah, it was a pretty powerful jolt. And yet the Haitian one, from what I hear, was like 10 times more powerful than the one that we had here in Southern California. But the one in Chile was 500 times more powerful than the one in Haiti. I can't even think of that.
No, I'm thinking the same thing.
500 times more powerful than the one in Haiti.
And then look at the amount of the damage, like Jamie was saying, you know, one was more on the surface and one was deeper into the ground.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, one was a light massage and the other one was a Ralphing. There you go.
I'm sure everybody has perhaps felt being in an earthquake. Sometimes they're kind of light and sometimes they're kind of major. I was in the San Francisco quake in 89.
Oh, wow.
And that didn't seem too bad, but then out to the outside world, of course, it looked like everything was burning down. But that was
uh-huh.
the situation at the time. But it was interesting, to say the least. I know that the way people react sometimes, too, and you don't know what's going on. But nowadays, it seems every news, it's very instantaneous in
mm-hmm.
the way that you could find news out. Although, lately, I've noticed that I've always used to reading the newspaper, and newspaper isn't very much anymore. I think there's the way the internet and the people can look up things, and there's just so many other different ways of putting a news out. Not to say that that isn't helping people communicate, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, all you can do is just be yourself and treat people like the way you want to be treated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A golden rule.
That's right.
I believe two people have joined us. Gloria, have you joined us?
Yes,
and
I have.
Woohoo! Can you hear me?
Raul,
are you at the table?
Good evening. This is Raul Rosiles.
Hi, Raul.
Hi.
Everybody kind of pull your chairs out because we need to make room for everybody at the table, okay? the more the merrier, but we need to make a little room for everybody.
what kind of wine are we ordering?
Yeah, I think we need to get some sangria. That sounds good to me, but that's just my preference. So there you go. we were talking about the earthquake, and I think we had mentioned that to a couple of Raul and Gloria. We were inviting them on and had kind of talked a little bit ahead of time about what we might be talking about. And so far, just kind of get you guys up to speed, we were talking about a couple different concepts of where the degree of the intensity of the Chile earthquake was like. What did you say, Al? Like 500 times?
It was 500 times more powerful than the Haiti earthquake.
Yeah, and Jamie's also one of our guests, and he's here tonight, and he was saying that he had been reading that it was a deeper earthquake.
Yes, that's correct. Also,
yeah.
I think it goes in, for every number, the next number up is 10 times the power of the previous number. I think that's correct.
Wow. Like, I don't know if I can really comprehend all that, you know, when it comes to a sense of that kind of a velocity. You're like, wow, you know, it's like hard to fathom sometimes, I think. So, Raul and Gloria, you guys, anything, your impressions on that so far, what we've kind of been sharing and talking about?
Can you hear me at all?
Yes,
yeah.
I can hear you.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I was listening to the earlier part of the conversation, and I was listening to how you were talking about how the earthquake has affected people, yet, you know, we're really not even discussing what the causes of this, of these earthquakes and these different changes in the environment are coming from. And, you know, there's so many different areas that we could discuss, and I don't know if you want to go into that aspect at all or if we're just looking at how these are affecting humanity as a whole and how they're dealing with it.
Well, why don't you know, let's put it on the table and, you know, see what everybody's thinking about that.
Well, I've been curious about how the HAARP is playing into that, the area up in
Alaska.
In Hawaii. Yeah, well, we think it's in Alaska, but I believe it's out of Hawaii.
Ah.
And so, you know, how that affects the currents and how that actually affects the ships, but yet on a level from energy, we're moving through the different bands of universal vibrations, and all of the planets are going through it. They're all experiencing shifts in their axis based upon the energy that they're moving through. And so, you know, it's like, as a humanity, are we actually perpetuating and helping that process, or because I don't think that we are only the only stimulus or catalyst for that. And I think it's almost that the powers that are messing around with things are, whether they know it or not, are in sync with the changes that the universe needs to have us go through.
What do you guys think?
That's quite a well. That's definitely a interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's thoughts. It's things that go through my head.
Right.
And, you know,
It's hard to say how. I mean, obviously, if this has affected nature and the nature's course, or altered normal activity. I don't know.
All we have to do is check the Russian scientists. They'll tell us.
Vladimir and all those guys in the Borscht are like checking it out for us. Yeah.
They're keeping an eye on HARP.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the people from the Conscious Life Expo this last weekend, there was a gentleman, Charles Ostman, who worked with the nanotechnology from NASA and on a bunch of different projects. Those are the type of people that would really have some insight. But yet, I doubt that they're available to even be able to talk about it, let alone be interested in commenting on it where they're working. So,
mm-hmm. Raul, what do you think about all this?
Well, I know the Russians have medical tests for different diseases and infections and different things, bacteria and different things that we don't have in the U.S. So we're behind them in certain kinds of things, like in medicine, and that's been from the beginning, like them going, you know, into orbit first and all of that. But I feel, as far as the first thing I thought when I was reading. I don't look at television, so I'm looking at, like, Yahoo News and different news services online.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a slight acceleration of the Earth's spin as an idea from one of the NASA scientists, even if it's ever so slightly increased our spin from this earthquake. According to this NASA scientist, I thought, yeah, spinning more would be more energy, and almost the goddess or the Mother Earth energy, increasing energy to respond to what is pollution and other things happening on the planet at this time. That was my only,
mm-hmm.
like my first kind of intuitive thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also I feel this is a little bit strange to some people because of the idea of cause and effect and karma and things like this. But I noticed that wherever there is some lower frequency of human, how can I say, human rights or the value of life, these kind of disastrous things occur more frequently in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's the collective consciousness, there is more casualties from any kind of situation than in other parts of the world.
What did you think about Hawaii with the tsunami and having it just really dissolving on its own? It just basically dissipated.
Yeah, that's really fascinating, and the idea that our collective consciousness is for this beautiful, peaceful place there. And so that's what is kind of like shield around it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of mentioned before about this feeling like it was just the power of prayer and everyone really knowing about it so we could send our consciousness of love to have it just kind of dissipate. That's what when I heard about it, I had a couple friends in Honolulu, and I was just visiting one of them, and all of a sudden I hear this, you know, on the phone I was talking to her, I hear the alarm go off for the tsunami, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was just like afraid for her, and then I thought about, well, fear isn't going to help this thing, instead of just really giving it love and actually thanking it on whatever level that was helping to release energies that needed to dissipate, and just seeing it kind of dissolving on its own. So it wouldn't really take any damage to the island. It would just, you know, maybe be a little bit higher waves, but that was it. There, no life would have to be taken.
So, Al, you're going to Hawaii in a few days.
Yeah, I'll be leaving on Friday morning. But thank God that there's still Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yay!
Thank goodness. Well, you already had your plane ticket, right?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't want to waste a plane ticket, my goodness.
No, I probably would have flown out there anyway to help out anyway, so.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Well, and I think that there's just so many people in the world that are so thankful that Hawaii was spared of any kind of damage like that, because it's just such a special place for anyone who goes to visit there. You know, you definitely take a little bit of Hawaii home with you in your heart.
It is quite a paradise there.
It is quite the paradise, yeah. So we were talking the other day about how we might segue and work with different stuff, and a part of talking about the earthquake and then with the tsunami was even maybe looking at that on the perspective of the 2012 and how people are projecting that out at just different ways that they're thinking about it and having things being affected. So anybody want to jump in with that and kind of bring it to the 2012 perspective?
The first thing that occurred to me is I would like to draw a line on a map between Chile and Haiti.
Okay.
And see what's there.
Uh-huh.
What's going
on? Yeah, that's a good idea.
What's going on in that part of the world? What's going on in the ocean? What's
uh-huh.
going on in the there? And how, you know, everything's about connection. So I'd like to see what would be what would come from that. Just something that occurred to me right now.
Yeah, I bet that actually would be pretty profound. Maybe one thing we're wanting to do with the show is sometimes we'll have leftovers, and so that definitely would be something we could bring at the next gathering and take a look at that and kind of have it as a almost like a potluck, you know.
Bring
it back.
You must have a powerful refrigerator if leftovers can last that long.
Oh, you know, we could pop it in the freezer, and I mean, that's one thing we're going to have available where people can go online and check it out and be sending some comments to us, you know, from show to show. We'd love to have people, you know, to messaging us between shows, and, you know, basically we'd love to be able to bring that on the air and talk about how people are feeling about it just from anywhere that they're hearing this and want to have their voice heard. We definitely want to make you a part of the table.
And sometimes it's better to the second time around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like spaghetti. Spaghetti's always better the next day, so it's okay. all those Italian treats are always better the next day. There you go. It's all good.
Well, it's time to order a pizza, then. Let's do it.
Sometimes
I know, huh? Now we're all really getting hungry. So there you go.
Sometimes they have to marinate a little bit.
That's right.
any kind of subject matter we bring up, then. Next time it's we can warm it up.
That's right. We can always warm it up and maybe add a little bit of this or that to it to give it a different kind of look, and it's always good because it's, you know, if it's made with love, it'll be.
Well, another thing, one thing I wanted to bring up tonight is that Yahoo, which is where I'm looking at a lot of my news now. This is not a commercial for them; it just happens to be one of my email addresses. They're 15 years old now. At least today. So this is a time when we're having a different level of media, a different kind of media, where people are getting their news and being able to share information with each other on the internet. Yeah, so it's interesting to me that 15 years ago, Yahoo was just starting.
Are you guys hearing a lot of static, or is it just me?
I definitely am getting some static there.
Huh.
I can still hear you, though.
Okay, good.
There we go.
Yeah, it could be someone's proximity to another electronic device. A recorder or a computer or anything else.
still static?
Yeah, I'm
not
hearing
static.
Like a staticky, humming type of thing in the background. Anyways, Raul, as you were saying.
Oh, about how we have this this new technology. Like
that's much better.
On the internet.
Yeah. Somebody just turned off something, and now it's working much better. But
oh, yeah.
Echo.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was me. It was my Bluetooth.
Yeah. If my memory was better, I could have helped with that. People have been on Bluetooth with other radio shows before, and it just slipped my mind. It's not the kind of thing that comes up to memory right away.
Yeah, and but you didn't hear it for the first half hour.
Bluetooth will never work with internet radio. They're not compatible.
That's 100% better.
Awesome. Woohoo. I fixed it.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead, Raul.
Oh, well, just as I was saying about how I'm seeing the news not on television, which I almost never turn on, but on the internet. And so following these things, like whether there's a tsunami or the earthquake, on the internet. And I was just thinking about that because Yahoo had its 15th birthday. And for one part, I thought, oh, it's been quite a long time already. But for another, I thought, well, kind of forgetting what it felt like not to have news on the internet.
15 years ago, I did not have internet in my house.
Right. I think I've been on the internet 12 years.
Yeah.
But I didn't have email right away. I resisted it.
Right.
Oh,
none
how
of
about
us had DSL.
How about them cell phones now, huh? Are they are you defined by your cell phone if you have one, or a personal digital aid? I tell you, sometimes people get a little too. The internet is wonderful, and technology is, but sometimes you are just a little too maybe rely on it a little too much, and sometimes it's hard to turn off or to get away where there aren't any phones or TVs. Like the old days, I guess, but who knows?
You know what's interesting about that, about the cell phone, and I'm going to go back a little before that. I remember it was about 20 years ago when I got my first pager.
Oh, right. Pagers were all the rage.
Yeah, and I when I okay, I think I got one because everybody else had one.
Right.
And then and then I found myself. Now I realize that people can find me anywhere. All they had to do
right.
was text me, and then eventually you were able to use numbers and codes and stuff to actually communicate, change the numerics into alpha. And
yeah.
and I thought to myself, and I remember thinking to myself, why did I get this thing? Now people can reach me wherever I'm at. And then that transitioned to cell phones. So it's amazing what's going on here in regards to technology and electronics and what it's actually doing for us or not doing for us.
I think in some cases it could be it's overstimulation, especially when you have 500 digital channels if you watch TV. You know, I'm a baby boomer at the end of the baby boom, and I'm used to watching TV. I've watched a lot of TV, and I've learned a lot from it. Not to say that it's bad, but I guess it's what you watch and when you turn it off, you know, just like anything else, in moderation.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. And then the deal with the pager, when the company handed me the pager, then I was on a lease.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different level.
Uh-huh. Which isn't moderation.
Well, one thing that I wasn't really prepared for was chat where, you know, there's chat rooms which you can go into, then you want to chat. But, for example, there's chat on email now. And, for example, on Facebook, and I'm usually writing something on Facebook. It's more putting up something, and I have an agenda. You know, I have, like, okay, I'm going to spend this much time on Facebook, and I'm going to put something up and look at my messages and then go do something else, and I have the time kind of allotted. And then someone will chime in with a chat. Like, they want to talk to me immediately because they see I'm on Facebook. But just because I'm on Facebook doesn't mean I'm automatically available. And then there's some, like, can you respond to this chat? Like, you know, there's pressure. Like, you've got to respond right now. And, well, actually, I don't. I tend to, you know, respond. It's the fact that chat is live, and it's almost like as if you were standing in front of someone and you were refusing to respond to them.
I have a friend who's a grandma, and she discovered chatting, found that her grandchildren were all on Facebook, and she could chat with them anytime she wanted. But the same thing, when she opened up the chat, then they said, "Grandma, I have homework to do. I can't talk to you now." So she learned her lesson.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I had a friend who taught me the power of saying no instead of being overcommitted and creating a responsibility level that was something I took on. So when they had the chat, you know, I look and I open up chat on Facebook and I look and I go, oh, that person is available. Oh, they're going to see I'm online and that I'm not talking to them. And then I just went, okay, well, if I don't contact them, maybe they won't contact me. And then I get to a point where it was much easier, where it's like, if I don't want to talk to them, I just don't, and I have no guilt associated with it.
Well, you shouldn't have. And when's the last time anybody ever wrote a letter to anybody, you know?
Well, you were just saying that different people may experience guilt because they're expected to talk to people right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the immediacy. It's a lot easier to send someone an email than send a card. But I still like sending cards now and then.
Well, so then let me ask everybody this question: Is electronics dehumanizing us?
It's changing the culture, and it's changing the generational culture as to what's acceptable or not. They still have discussions about whether or not to send thank you letters on LinkedIn as far as, like, interviewing or any kind of an interaction. And they're still asking people of that generation to write them, yet you have a much more mixed vote of people now.
So
well,
you don't feel it's dehumanizing us?
I don't think so. I think it's an environmental plus not to send these paper products through the mail. And I'll sometimes fancy up an email with colors and fonts and as a way of sending something that's a little personal to someone. And there's no paper involved, so it's less of an environmental impact.
Right, and then you have the generational gap where people like my mother and people that were maybe just a little younger than her that are used to getting things in the mail, and it's more of a memento and a reminder of that person that's tangible.
Good point.
It's like, does anybody even practice handwriting anymore? You know what I mean? They don't even teach that in school.
Mm.
They don't teach
it in school. Right. Kids are all computer savvy.
Oh, of course.
Well, I wonder if everybody's typing, that improving people's ability to write. Or,
well, I think that our grammar and our spelling is suffering immensely.
I think overall the education is kind of not, I mean, it doesn't seem as critical to the kids nowadays. But again, you know, that's a certain, you know, there are good kids and there's bad kids, just like you know, when I went to school, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that determines, I think that that's determined upon the value that the parents are giving to the education. It's much like, you know, I've reviewed this topic a little bit, and I liken it to the opportunity and the privilege to vote, because initially with not having the ability, and it was a privilege to vote, everyone was very responsible about it. And when education was only available to the upper classes, then that was a tool that could get you ahead. And now it's evolved to the point where it's accessible to so many people that it's no longer something that is desired, and so the immediacy of the value of it has just gone away.
True.
And that's a sad statement. So that's another topic for another day. I plan on making some.
We're going to have to make a recipe card on that one and put it in a file there.
Well,
yeah, a recipe card.
On that one, right.
And yeah. By the way, it's now time for dessert. Time for dessert.
Oh,
to
yes.
Wrap up the conversation. And I see on the menu we have apple pie a la mode or cheesecake tonight.
Ooh. I'll have a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. A little moderation of both.
That just shows that he believes everything is possible in life.
Uh-huh. Works for me.
Some of the apples on top of the cheesecake.
Oh, there we have it. That sounds like the best. So, what do we have any leftovers? Oh, our leftovers are bringing more information about possible locations of earthquakes on Earth right now.
And 2012.
So are you looking to determine possible new sites or just reviewing all the sites?
I don't think they can really predict when an earthquake will happen, although sometimes animals can, I hear.
Well, they can feel.
So as a leftover, though, what is the direction?
I think it would be if this 2012 is some sort of culmination in, you know, thinking or perspective, or is it a physical change, or is it something we need to worry about? Who knows?
Well, let me put this on the table. Who feels what happened in Chile and Haiti is contributing to 2012?
Right. I do.
Sure, I do.
I don't.
It's a good question.
I think regardless of what happens, 2012 will happen, period.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, exciting ideas and some kind of really out there ideas about 2012, but I believe the next morning people will still need to deal with living on the same planet together and going forward. I don't think, you know, aliens are going to come and rescue us and whisk us away or any of these more fantastic ideas that people have. And I don't think that would be a good story for humanity to go forward, that we were saved. I think it's a much better way for us to figure it out. That's a much better future for us. Have to, you know, the next morning we'll get up and figure out how we're doing what we're doing. I think it's collective consciousness is all focusing on it, and if we all focus on something positive, we'll get a positive result. And then
I agree.
Raul, you're talking about the live chat that goes on Facebook, and I spend quite a bit of time on Facebook because I have a pretty huge following. And it's funny, I get these pop-ups, and people want to ask me questions, and they want to talk about different topics. Well, one of them was what we're talking about right now, about 2012. And this gentleman asked me, he goes, "Are you concerned about 2012? And I said, "No." And then he comes back and says, "Well, why aren't you concerned?" I go, "Because I'm focused on right now." the gift that I have right now is right now.
Right now.
I go, 2012 is going to come, and I don't even know if I'm going to personally be around to see it. So why am I going to worry about it? What I got to do is focus on right now. What is it that I can do right now?
But that's a great point.
I guess it is in a lot of people's minds, but I tell my audiences, I say, look, right now is what you have. Right now is what you got. Right now is the blessing. Right now is the gift. You know?
That's right.
And right now, you get to dictate the influence that you're going to bring into the future. And there is no tomorrow, and there is no yesterday. It's right now. And that's what I was telling this gentleman, and he was blown away because he popped up on my little chat thing, and he would really want to get into a heavy discussion, but, you know, within 45 seconds it was over because he realized it, that he was putting a lot of energy into something that has yet to happen.
Yeah.
Right. That's definitely true.
I think that that's more of what is a sign of our modern culture, is that there's a lot of our lives in what's coming or in planning or logistics, or life is much more complicated than, you know, living on a farm or anything like that. And so there's so much about having to commute or getting up earlier because you have to drive somewhere or different kinds of things, like, are we going to call on a landline or cell phone, or are we going to be on the internet? So there's so much going on that there's less focus on the moment. I mean, if we're focused on a computer screen because we're emailing or something, then we really don't have a presence of the room so much. We have a presence on the computer screen. So I think just shutting everything off and go for a nice walk.
Sounds like a plan, like an after-dinner walk.
Yes.
On a wonderful evening. I think I'll do that.
Nothing replaces just getting together.
Uh-huh, just like we're doing.
Yeah, except all in the same space and time.
Uh-huh.
Where's our
Robin,
waiter?
Are you still with us?
I'm listening. This is Jamie, still listening. I'm about to bow out, though. I think I'm going to have to give you a call back next week. That sounds like a lot of fun, and you're doing a good thing here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us, Jamie.
Well, everybody, I don't know who's going to pick a check up, but I will see you next week.
All right.
Yeah, wait till the waitress comes by and says that the check was on the house but now on the table.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, take care, everybody.
All right, take care.
Bye, Jamie.
Bye-bye.
Robin, are you with us? I don't think she is. I think she dropped off.
Yeah.
So who's left?
Well, Gloria is still here.
Well, hi, Gloria.
Hi.
So, I mean, you haven't even, you're sitting right in front of me. You haven't even said hello.
Yes, I have. I said hello.
You did?
You were just so involved in conversation.
Yeah.
She couldn't get a word in edgewise, huh?
I'm experiencing that recently. It's a new experience for me.
How do you like it?
I don't know that I do.
Why do you say that?
Because I like to be the person who's talking.
I'm sorry. I should have known that was going to come out.
you're listening in such a wise way.
That's it. You are so kind.
Let's see, for anyone who came into the call a little later or is listening to the later half of the show, Kathy, I was wondering if you could talk about the future of the show and just generally the concept.
Well, the Transformation Cafe is food for the soul. Every week at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, we plan to meet at this cafe, and who knows, we might get adventurous. We might go around town to other cafes, and we'll be serving appetizers, tips and bits of news at the main course for the evening. We'll take a look at what major events have happened during the week, a little soup and salad, make sure you have room for dessert, and then we'll have our leftovers. And we hope that you'll join us again next week at Tuesday at 9 o'clock, every once in a while. And we are so appreciative of Al joining us this week. We do have a guest chef in the house.
Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
That.
Thank you for spending the time with us.
I love this. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm tickled.
That just means you have to come back.
Oh,
yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
maybe.
And Al, you're about to have some really great coconut ice cream or whatever kind of delicacies over there.
Hawaiian shaved ice. Woohoo!
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to all of this. You know, what's interesting is that and to create some synergy, and I know Kathy and Raul, I don't know about Gloria or, I believe Robin does too, but just to create some synergy, you guys, and here's a tip, is to start promoting the show on your Facebook account.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So people will be able to find out more about the show via Facebook very soon.
And we're going to have a place where people can sign up and be our fans. We're going to have fans to have that going on, too.
Oh, so you're
going
to have a fan page.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Robin,
yeah, that's
her. Uh-huh. I'm back on again. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Something, for some reason, I dropped off, but I got myself back on again.
Cool.
I fell off my chair, and I'm back. Was that sangria?
Yeah, it was a little quiet there.
I had to go to the little girl's room for just a minute. You guys just kind of snuck away.
You
so
missed
all good. Yeah, that was the dessert and the sangria just kind of done me, and I had to go to the girl's room for a minute. So it's all good. It's all good. But again, I wanted to thank Gal for coming out, and all of us. We're looking forward to just making this just a really fun discussion, no matter what comes up and who wants to jump on the table. We're looking forward to that, and it's just having to be lots of fun and hopefully insightful for people. So if people have some questions they really would like to just put it to a lot of different people for good perspectives. We're always wanting to make ourselves available, whether we're on, you know, actually being live, or if they want to send us some messages, we'll be checking all week long. So we're looking forward to that.
Robin, you have such a great radio voice.
Thank you. You do too, Raul. You really do. Yeah, you really do. We all do. We just sound fabulous on the air. What can I say? We're just all these celebs now, so it's good.
I really love this concept. I'm goo goo gaga over this.
He's goo goo gaga over this. Well, you're welcome anytime you want to come on. You're more than welcome to.
You'll be
it's like,
for
you
some
know,
surprise.
You might have to bring your own chair because we may run out of chairs at the table. But you know, hey, just bring one
there
over.
Go.
We're good to go. There you go. Yeah. That's all good. That's all good.
Al, when you come back, Al, you can tell us about your talk with Neil Donald Walsh at the same event.
That's
yeah,
cool.
we get to kind of, we'll get the inside scoop of what happened after the conference.
You know what would be cool is if I could bring him on the show with me.
Yeah.
Nice.
That would be cool.
Could. That would be very cool. It would be very cool. Yeah, we could
I'll
have that conversation with God.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Right, yeah, conversations. Does God like pineapple or coconut better?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure it just depends on the day and what's going on with things, but I don't know. I'm kind of thinking God really likes coconut, but that's just me. Yeah.
I think so, too. That was my
We can ask Donald that when he's on. Maybe he can kind of give a little inside scoop on that.
There you go.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. You have a safe and fun trip.
Thank you.
That's supposed to be a pun, an inside scoop.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if you. I'm glad you caught it, Gloria. You know, Rob just kind of puts them out there. So you know, the sangria is talking now. So there you go. It's good.
Mm-hmm. You guys are funny.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah,
so
we're
fun.
Gonna have fun. So.
Exactly.
Now, I have a question here. How is Raul and Kathy going to get in a word with Robin and Gloria talking all the time?
You know what Gloria and I do? Gloria and I actually talk to each other two or three times before the show starts. So we actually have a little bit of our talking for the day. You know, everybody has a quota of the amount of words you're supposed to say a day. So
okay.
Kathy and I work on that together.
To be honest with you, Gloria, this is the quietest I've ever heard Gloria.
Wait till next week.
Yeah, really. So that's the definitely tune in for Gloria.
Yeah. Well, Gloria,
I'll tell you, ladies, something. Kathy was sweating bullets because she thought she was going to run the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And she would have done it magnificently. I know. I didn't realize it, but our phone number had changed.
Right.
Yeah.
From this afternoon.
Yes. Yeah. We had a different phone number, so that was part of my little confusion. But thank God, we just like got on the main side and figured it out really quickly. So it was no big deal.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I've had fun tonight, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. The more
you're
the
a great
merrier.
Dinner
so. Yes, we
thank
are.
You.
Yes, we are. We're looking forward because we're actually gonna get all of us together and do a few photos when we actually go out and actually eat. So we have some, you know, because it's just part of our promo stuff. We have to have pictures of us sitting at a table having a good time. So there you go.
Wait, you know what I was gonna ask you? Now I don't know if this was on purpose, but Kathy, was that you like hitting glasses and stuff during the show?
Yeah,
moving plates around.
Did it sound like it?
Yeah, it did.
I went and got silverware, and yeah, there we go, clinky clink.
There we go. Wow.
You know how to play it up. I was laughing to myself as I was listening to it, and I thought, God, this is phenomenal. This is great. I love it. I love every part of this. This is great.
That's fun.
I told her I could eat with my mouth open, but she said we really don't want to go there. You know, it's more like fish sounds and things like that. So,
yeah, that is so adorable.
Like, no, Robin, no, it's okay. We'll just clank some dishes instead. It's okay. Thanks.
Right.
You know what? I really wanted to get into it.
I know we're running out of time here. You should hire a guy that comes in every now and then, and he talks with his mouth full.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know.
Sitting.
I think we should maybe just have like somebody who's our waiter or whatever. That would be great. They kind of like check with the orders and what's kind of going on and making sure we're happy.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
One of our guests could come in and just be kind of the waiter and just say, are you guys doing okay? Do you need anything? How, you know, we've got a
that would be great.
Yeah.
Then my favorite phrase comes out of, you are a waiter and what intention of weight do you not understand?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
That's my sarcasm. Mm.
There we go.
My sarcasm.
Well, anyway, wonderful show, guys. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Alan.
Well,
we look forward to having you and Donald on, so just let us know what's going to work for you guys.
All right. Well, let's rock, and I trust it'll happen. Have a great evening.
Okay.
Thank
well.
You. You
aloha.
Too.
Okay, mahalo.
Yes, have
mahalo.
A great
mahalo.
Thank you.
Yeah, mahalo. Okay, it's 9:58. There we go.
Right on schedule. Yeah. Got quiet.
Yeah, we did good. Yeah, I know. All of a sudden we got quiet. Well, you know how it is like when you finally eat and everybody's just kind of satisfied and then all of a sudden the table
goes right.
quiet for a second.
Put the napkin
that after
on the
like,
table.
Just kind of like we're letting everything settle. So it was all good. It was all good. Yeah. Okay. Well, I look forward to next week and having everything just be, you know, that much more fun. So I'm sure we'll have more wonderful things to add to the main course and just keep it lively and fun and see who wants to jump on in and do some table hopping. It'll be fun.
Thanks for inviting
awesome
Jamie. He's a great dinner guest.
Yes.
Awesome show.
Yes. Well, you know, and any of you guys know anybody you'd want to go ahead and invite, I've invited my daughters to come on to give just a different perspective on stuff. And Jamie was really a good guest. Yeah, he was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's a very well-read kind of guy. So that's he likes to be up on current events. So he would be actually a good person for letting us know some of the inside scoops on stuff. So it's a good thing. So I'll have to let him know we appreciated his extra information.
Definitely. Well, it's time to go.
Okay, guys. Well, everybody drive careful, and thanks
okay,
for coming. And hugs all around, and we'll talk to you later. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.